All of his stuff looked good, some probably too good because it was probably snug, but he was different in everything that he did. He locked up different. He locked up snug.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Snug Wrestling Podcast. I am Edgar. I am the host. Like always, I got my lovely Snug Wrestling crew with me, Mr. Blood, Toxic, Tommy, BT Knight. Happy Monday, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Fantastic. What a Raw.
Yeah, this Monday Night Raw, we got three more matches added for WrestleMania. The triple threat match for the women's champion, which we'll get into. Rey Mysterio versus another historic and legendary luchador, El Grande Americano, is official. And we have a fatal four-way for the Intercontinental title. We saw Paul Heyman. And I want to get started with that, you guys. Paul Heyman came out and he wanted to clear things up when it comes to what we saw on SmackDown. Paul Heyman said he's loyal to both Roman and CM Punk, which means that, you know, he sounded like everyone thought he was choosing sides, but it sounded like Paul Heyman wasn't going to choose either of them, or maybe was going to choose both of them. We don't know, because Seth Rollins came out and interrupted Paul Heyman, and Seth Rollins had a lot of good points here. Remember, Paul, Roman, he don't respect you. He uses you. You know, you're his errand boy. When he lost at WrestleMania, he left you for Solo to treat you like shit. You got powerbombed through the announce table. CM Punk wasn't there. They weren't there. Neither was Punk, Roman. Neither of those guys were there to save you. And as much as I don't want to say it, I hate Rollins, but I'm not the biggest Rollins fan, but he was right. The thing that got my attention is that Seth Rollins said, I was there. I was the first one that, you know, offered my services to you basically at War Games. And that right there got my attention, because we've been hearing a lot of rumors. Seth Rollins could be the next Paul Heyman guy. What if Paul Heyman turns on both Punk and Roman and goes for, you know, take Seth Rollins back instead? Very interesting stuff here. We saw, looked like Seth Rollins was going to take out Paul Heyman. CM Punk comes out for the save. And now Paul Heyman owes Seth Rollins a favor. Ooh, Blood, get us started with this, Blood. What do you think is going on?
Man, oh. Now, everybody, in the sound of my voice, especially the men in this podcast, Toxic, get your ass back here. I have been saying for fucking months, true or false, gentlemen, have I not been saying it for months, that we need a Seth Rollins heel turn? I have been saying that we need it. I have been saying forever, from the beginning, that if they were going to pit Punk against Rollins, there was no way the WWE fans were going to choose Rollins over Punk. There was no way it was going to happen, which means you would need Rollins to turn heel at some point, or the fans were going to turn him heel anyway, just like they did with the Fiend feud. And what's crazy about this is that you want to talk about swerves on the way to Mania, all the random title changes that have happened, the injuries, the Kevin Owens angle, all these things that have happened that have come out of left field. Right, John Cena heel turn. To think we would get a Rollins, and I feel confident in saying that this is a Seth Rollins heel turn, or the very beginning of it, because nothing in this promo was babyface. He did the normal shtick where he points out, you know, everything he hates about them. Oh, you know, he left you high and dry. Oh, he abandoned you here. Keep in mind, by the way, when Roman disappeared after Mania last year, he was still a heel. So yes, he abandoned Paul, but when he returned, he was a face, which people forget. That's what got me big on TikTok, was I predicted Roman's fucking face turn the week after Mania when no one believed me. Now I predicted Rollins' heel turn 5 months ago. I said the moment that these guys were going to feud, literally right before Christmas when we knew we were going into Raw on Netflix for this, I said there's no way that this feud ends with Seth still a babyface. It just can't happen. He's been too stale for too long. If you strip away, and I did a video on my channel about this the other day, if you strip away Rollins' entrance theme, you strip away the flashy clothes and the sing-song sing-along, he has no character. But Punk and Roman have character for fucking eons, built in, hardwired. A lot of that because of their involvement with Heyman over the years. Heyman has helped fine-tune these guys, really add in layers and details to their character. But Seth, oh, Seth, you know who would really benefit from Heyman's guidance? Seth freaking Rollins. And I'll tell you why. If you have to come out every single week, and you have to, what's the old saying, guys? If you have to tell someone how great you are, that means you're not really great. If you have to come out and tell me every week that you are a visionary, you are a revolutionary, if you have to remind me who you are because you don't believe that I would believe it, then you're just trying to sell yourself on the thing that you're selling. Because you're hoping that if you say it enough and you say it often, people are going to buy in. And I think we're at the point where no one's buying in. But this, putting his hands on Paul, pushing him, shoving him, literally grabbing him by the tie and saying, how much are you worth? What? Pushing him into the corner, about to literally violate Paul fucking Heyman in the middle of a promo. He turned into a straight heel. And then out comes Punk to save him. And it turns out that he attacks Paul so he can use Paul as bait to get Punk's or Roman's attention. Because the minute that you hear fucking Cult of Personality, you see Roman, or not Roman, you see Rollins turn around and he's got that look on his face that says, this is exactly what I wanted. But even then, no babyface would ever threaten a non-active participant just to bait someone. That's a full-blown heel tactic. And not only did he stomp CM Punk, who's in the right here for trying to save Heyman and punish Rollins, but then Seth goes for the stomp on a prone Heyman and stops just short to play mind games and manipulate him and now lean down and say, hey, now you owe me a favor. That's some heel shit. And now we can speculate, but I'm calling it right here, right now, because I already said it last week. And I said it on a video. And even Toxic himself, I'm going to give Toxic his props because he also called this along with me. The favor is going to involve Heyman screwing Punk and Roman over at Mania. And I think we're getting, like you said, Snug, our next Paul Heyman guy.
Yeah, but I have one quick question really quick before we move on to Toxic, because the people love Paul Heyman. They respect Paul Heyman so much. I feel like if that happens, people will just cheer for Seth Rollins even more instead of turning him heel, like you say. You don't think
that's the goal. That's the goal. That's good. Because remember, we're in a day and age where baby faces are considered boring. Why do you think so many people turned on Cody Rhodes so quickly? Why do you think so many people are hoping for a Homelander Rhodes? It's the same thing here. When Roman was a massive heel, he got booed by most of the audience, but they fucking loved him as a bad guy. They loved Punk when Punk was a heel. It's just what it is. Seth Rollins will be a massive heel, but the appeal is he's going to be a heel that you like, a cool heel. That's the angle here. And Rollins can pull it off. If we can get a little bit of that architect back, mixed with a little bit of Monday Night Messiah, drop this bullshit sing-song along, get him back into a serious tone where he really feels like a threat instead of an afterthought every single feud he's in, then I think we are going to strike gold here by putting Heyman with him. I fully believe it. Heyman,
yeah, not only
Heyman turns shit into fucking stacks, bro.
Yeah, not only that, too, and it also kind of makes the match more interesting, because I don't think anyone is really expecting or was expecting Seth Rollins to win. Everyone is expecting CM Punk to win. This is the first time he main events WrestleMania. He's going to walk out with his best friend. What a moment. But then like there's the monkey wrench right there. Seth Rollins
because
actually has a chance.
It can honestly go, because I truly do not believe at all. I think the one person I definitely don't believe is winning. I don't believe Roman's winning at all. I fully believe Roman's not going to be the guy that gets the pin. But I tell you what, I fully believe that it's a 50-50 split on Punk or Rollins to get that W. But because of this brand new wrinkle, I can't fully confidently tell you who that's going to be.
All right, Toxic.
If Paul Heyman does screw, it's Seth.
Let's hear your thoughts on all this, Toxic.
Like Blood said, I'm calling it for Mania. Heyman's turning on both Roman and Punk and going with Rollins. It only makes sense. I mean, if Seth's going to do what he did tonight to Heyman and say that that Heyman owes him a favor, that favor could be like I force you to be my wise man or my advocate or something like that. Make Seth Rollins the new Paul Heyman guy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Seth Rollins was also telling him, what is it going to take? What is your price to remove you from this situation? I think the favor could just simply be, Paul Heyman, you're just, you're not allowed to be out there, which would be kind of, I don't know. But it kind of makes sense if you think about it, based on what Seth Rollins was saying in the promo. You know, what is your worth? What is it going to take? I think Seth Rollins is just going to try to remove Paul Heyman from the match completely. That way, Seth Rollins probably has like a feeling that he has a better chance, you know, if Paul Heyman is out there either on Roman's corner or Punk's corner. I think Paul Heyman is like, whoever is in Paul Heyman's corner, that, you know, Paul Heyman gives them the advantage or something like that. But So you're calling Paul Heyman to turn and go with Seth Rollins at Mania.
Yeet.
Okay. Tommy, let's go with you.
I am also going with Heyman to choose Rollins at the end of the day. Because at this point, Blood is absolutely right. If character-wise, anybody needs Heyman, it's Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
You take, as he said, you take out all the flashy crap that he's got, the song, everything else. What does he have? Nothing. He has absolutely nothing. That is why he needs Heyman. And how about we put some lyrics to this shit now? Paul Heyman guy. That's it. That's what's going to happen at Mania. And when it does...
Yeah.
I am also going to remind people that this is the first time in 5 years that Roman is not coming out with Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
The first time in 5 years, the last 5 Manias, he has had Heyman by his side. This time he's not. Yes, that's what I meant. The last 4 Manias, he has had Heyman by his side. Right now, for this year, he's not going to. There's got to be a twist to this. And what better way to have this twist than for Heyman to go, you two have pulled me every which way for the past few weeks. This man has not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to Rollins.
Yeah, that's true. And I wouldn't put it past Paul Heyman. I mean, Paul Heyman has a history of turning on people, even Brock Lesnar, you know, one of his biggest stars ever that Paul Heyman has ever worked with, you know.
And I do love the fact, and this might kind of turn his thought process as well with this, to kind of put it towards Rollins, that little history lesson that Rollins gave him. Punk left 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Left the company entirely. As soon as Roman lost at Mania, he ditched for a few months and left him with your precious little solo.
Yeah.
And what he'd do, he slammed him through the table.
Right.
Took him out for a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a nice refresher, a nice little trip down memory lane. I mean, it kind of, this kind of reminded me of, you know, the promos that Drew McIntyre cuts and Kevin Owens, like, there was no lies being told here by Seth Rollins tonight.
Oh, yeah. So, during that promo, my immediate thought was, stop him when he's telling lies at this point.
Yeah.
Because right now, he's not.
BT, what do you think about this?
I don't have any words. I'm pretty sure these three just took the words out of my mouth. So I don't have any words to emphasize on this. So I fully agree with all three of them.
Yeah, Seth Rollins is the next Paul Heyman guy. All right. The other thing I wanted to talk about that happened tonight on Monday Night Raw was a big announcement for the Triple Threat match. It's official, you guys. I mean, we kind of just ran around in circles forever and ever, but we knew this was going to happen. I think this is pretty predictable. We're going to get Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, and Bianca Belair for the Women's Championship. And the first thing I thought of was you, Blood, when I heard this, because the first thing Adam Pearce said was, I was wrong. I was wrong to even think that you three, putting you guys in this situation, would fucking, you guys would be able to handle it professionally. And that's exactly what you've been saying this whole time, Mr. Blood. Like, this is so fucking stupid to think that these three women are actually going to be, you know, actually, hold on, Blood. You went first last time. So, all right, fine. Go ahead, Blood.
I swear I have been gaslighted by this motherfucker out of here. I swear. For the umpteenth and the final time.
Please do the Jarka voice.
He's driving me crazy. For the last fucking time, I will say this. You gaslit us. You fucked up the booking by putting Bianca in the fucking chamber where either Io or Rhea should have been, so you could then have one of them win after one of them had beaten Liv, and then you tell the fucking story of Rhea can't beat Io, because whether Rhea had the title or she was facing Io for the title, you could have told the story that Rhea can't beat Io because it works either motherfucking way. Now, after all this rigmarole of a month, this is now the fifth pie face they've done to Io. Again, they keep making the champion the afterthought. They then gave her a 20-count visual pin under Rhea last week, further undermining their own fucking champion while they're trying to tell me just how special she is. You have subsequently, through pissing off the fans with Bianca's booking, you are turning Bianca heel on accident. So you're ruining her character. Okay? And then you've Adam Pearce put her as a special guest referee in their match last week. And then you've got the fucking nerve to tell us I was wrong because I thought you guys were professional enough to handle me putting you in a compromising, unprofessional fucking position?
Hey, at least he admitted it, though.
No, that was the most backhanded shit ever. And while we're on the subject of the women's title match, because I don't know if we're covering it, so I'm going to say it right now while I have the fucking chance. I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
I am pissed that we have AJ versus Logan, Jade versus Naomi, and now fucking Chad Gable is the fucking Americano versus Rey Mysterio. Three fucking singles, non-title, non-built story matches that even matter in the last 3 weeks of fucking Mania thrown together haphazardly except for Naomi and Jade. Mm-hmm. But you've got no announced or planned matches for your Women's Intercontinental Champion or your United States Women's Champion. But you have a United States title match tonight, but no feud or build going into Mania. You have fucking, you have Chelsea Green defending, but no feud or story going into fucking Mania. But you'll put three random matches in there of tonight, which really pissed me off throwing that final one with Rey Mysterio in there. But then we've only got two actual built, and I use the term built motherfucking loose.
What does this have to do with the women's
title matches, with the triple threat match? Championships, the world champion, the women's world titles on Mania are horribly booked across the board. And then you have now taken your mid-card women's championships, the brand new belts that should be getting showcased at their first fucking Mania, and you have now flushed them down the toilet prior to Mania 2. The entire women's division is suffering this year. The booking needs to be fucking fixed. It's embarrassing and insulting to the women on both rosters that this is the shit they have to fucking walk into Mania with and turn it into a fucking sandwich. This is chicken shit salad. This is so unfair for all these women who are clearly doing their best. But this booking, in my opinion, WrestleMania 41 has had the worst booking of any Mania in about the last 4 years. The only good booked and built match for Mania is the triple threat between Rollins, Punk, and Reigns, and half of the Cody and John Cena build. Everything else is absolutely dropped ball.
Jay and Gunther, especially is pretty good
with
now.
This triple threat women's championship, this triple threat women's championship should have been the easiest story to fucking tell because it already had story behind it. It should have been simple.
Yeah, where I mean, I can understand why those women's championships, the U.S. or the Intercontinental. I mean, they could still be added maybe on the pre-show or something. I don't know, but
they deserve a story. They're brand new championships.
BT, let's go with you next. Thoughts on this announcement of the triple threat match that we all knew was coming, or anything else that Mr. Blood was talking about?
Okay, first off, Adam Pearce. Rhea Ripley isn't in fucking Judgment Day anymore, cat!
What? What are you going on about, BT?
He fucking said during the announcement, representing Judgment Day,
oh, shit.
Rhea Ripley!
Oh, yeah. I didn't even catch that.
Jesus! Even Nick Aldis wouldn't have pulled off that fucking move, you dumb, bald-headed fuck!
She has not been in the Judgment Day since SummerSlam!
Jesus Christ. Ugh.
Okay, he's gaslighting us, I told you.
Exactly! Second off. To the people who said that Bianca was getting booed because the crowd is racist.
People were saying that?
Y'all motherfuckers are the same ones that travel to these arenas and boo the shit out of her the same fucking night. What type of fucking logic do you have locked in your fucking skulls?
What is happening right now?
I will never understand
what is going on.
These people on motherfucking Twitter have been crazy. First, they say that Kevin Owens' injury started after Cody did the ladder spot, when he clearly goes on to an interview to say that the injury started in January. There was no fucking ladder match in January.
Well, he said 4 months ago it could possibly mean December, which was that Saturday night's main event with Cody.
Yeah, but he said in that interview that it initially started in the January.
But on the triple threat.
But these motherfuckers were saying, oh, Kevin was just saying that so that he could protect Cody, so that WWE could protect Cody as their champion. These motherfucking conspiracy theorists. I swear to God they're going to get to me. And then they had the audacity to say that the European crowds are racist because they booed Bianca because she was acting like a heel. Why the fuck did we travel back to the United States and hear you motherfuckers booing? What's next? You're going to say that they're mentally ill? Is that going to be the next excuse?
people who go to the shows are mentally ill. Because motherfuckers say that this is the era of the nonchalant, don't-know-it-all type of fans. So what's your fucking excuse now? I swear to God, these fucking gaslighting pricks have been pissing me the fuck off. I'm sorry, but I just had to get that off of my fucking chest.
It's all right, BT. We're just going to get canceled at probably every platform again, but it's all good. Go on.
Overall, I am happy that we finally got this triple threat match. Adam Pearce, if I could, I would rip your head off so hard and bowl you to get a strike! I would make sure that it is a strike, motherfucker! If it isn't, I am grabbing you from the gutter and doing it millions and millions of times until it is a fucking strike! Oh my God, I haven't crashed out like this in a while, bro. I'm so glad to get this out.
Rest in peace to those of you wearing headphones.
Yes. Yes. Rest in peace.
And this is users. And this is why we're not allowed on TikTok anymore, people.
Anyway, short term, I'm happy that this is a triple threat. This is going to be a good match. We just wish that the booking was better. That's all.
All right. Tommy, let's go with you next. Your thoughts on this segment with the triple threat match and everything, but also I want to point out, was it just me or was Bianca Belair, the way that she was dressed, the all black, when the announcement was made that Rhea Ripley is being added, she also had a lot of truth to say about this. Here comes Rhea Ripley. She can do whatever the hell she wants, even though I won fair and square at the Elimination Chamber and I should be getting this match. Fine. Bring it on. Was that, what did you think about that, Tommy, and everything else that we've been talking about here?
First of all, super quick thing, Blood and BT both, clap and a half to both of y'all. What the hell, man? But with that, yeah, down to the fact that she slammed the contract onto Rhea and said, here, you fucking whined for this. Like, to her face, you whine to get all the way up here, sign it. Like, there wouldn't be a damn story to begin with all the way from the start. Mm-hmm. Overall, Adam Pearce and Triple H both booked themselves in a corner, putting Bianca Belair in the damn chamber in the first place. She should not have been in there. She was already in the little thing with Jade and Naomi. There was no reason whatsoever to put her in the Elimination Chamber. There was none. She should not have been in there in the first place. They put themselves in a corner. Just having her in a qualifying match in general. I stand corrected. No. But rewind. Play. Qualifying match was fine. Her winning said qualifying match was what screwed them over. Mm-hmm. She shouldn't have won it in the first place.
All right, Toxic, let's go with you next. We also saw again for like the fifth time in a row, I'm exaggerating, it was probably like three or four times that Io Sky gets pie-faced again and is just like, fuck. All right, but yeah, what were your thoughts on this whole thing?
Just in case for anyone listening at home, RIP headphone users, and viewer discretion is advised.
That's not going to help us get not get canceled. So,
well, it's worth a shot.
All right.
Anyways, only one word for this dog shit that Adam Pearce decides to throw at us like 3 weeks before WrestleMania. Actually, you know what? Two words. Fucking finally.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, there was no way that we were going to have a WrestleMania without Rhea Ripley. Absolutely no way. So I was curious to see how this one was going to play out. Like, okay, how are they going to throw her in there? You know, but I mean, we've gone over this. We'll probably go over this more when we do WrestleMania predictions. But like at this point, it's just like, who's even going to win this? It's just so weird how this whole thing has been going.
Another thing, I'm happy that finally, after all of these pie faces that she has taken, she at least tried to fight back at the end of that.
I will say I was very scared for that. I said it in the chat too. That was a really tight fucking drop kick. It almost looked like she gave Rhea whiplash, and I thought Rhea accidentally headbutted Bianca in the mouth. I got really worried for them for a second there. I'm going to wait to see tomorrow what the wrestling news says, but I hope no one got injured. Because that looked really fucking a little too snug, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, most definitely. All right, you guys, the only other thing that I think we should really talk about is the Jey Uso promo on Gunther. Today we saw them go face-to-face on Monday Night Raw. And I feel like I took this personally. I took this promo personally because I was talking a whole lot of shit just a few weeks ago about how Jey Uso, his promos aren't as good as Gunther's, how Gunther's the better talker, how Jey Uso can't deliver a promo like the one that he did tonight. And I took that personally. I'm like, this guy must have heard me talking all that shit because he cut a really good promo tonight. You know, I didn't know what to expect when Jey Uso came out, because I thought for sure after what happened on Monday Night Raw last week with Jimmy, I thought it was going to be how the young kids say it on site. You know, as soon as Jey Uso sees Gunther is on site, but that didn't happen. Jey Uso came out. Different energy, different Jey Uso, different aura. He wasn't his usual happy-go-lucky self. He wasn't yeeting. He was actually telling the fans not to yeet during his promo, but the fans either didn't understand, they don't get it. If this wasn't the time to be yeeting, when it was time to, you know, to get down to business, Jey Uso was serious. He was passionate. He opened in line the promo with a really weird line. Do you have a mother? And I was like, what the fuck? Where is this even going to go? But Jey Uso ended up, you know, cutting a really good promo that made a whole lot of sense. And he ended it with, pray for me. Pray for the guy that I'm going to become at WrestleMania. And I'm coming for you. And I'm going to take that belt. Really intense stuff here. Gunther also did a fabulous job selling the promo. Because he was all happy at first. He was all smiling, grinning from ear to ear about this whole thing. And then as soon as Jey got done with this promo, Gunther's face, man, he was worried. And I think he should be. So, thoughts on the promo? Who wants to go first this time? BT, you got your hand up. Go ahead, dude.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Snug, my Lord, my Savior. Oh, my goodness gracious me. What a way to come back after a traumatizing moment for Jey Uso. I know people were expecting him to be violent, to be fucking crazy, but we still have one more week left. So I am calling it now. Shit is going to go down before WrestleMania starts. We know this. We know this. I'm just praying for Gunther, for the man that Jey is going to become on Monday. And at WrestleMania. What a way to top off the segment from last week.
I know lots of people are going to say that it was a bit, weird. But I thought this promo did its job and did what it was intended to do. And like he said, it was a different Jay. He wasn't yeeting. He came in all seriousness. Even Gunther was trying to take a go at him. Yeah, you want to speak? I'll speak for you. Get that shit out of my face, motherfucker. You ain't speaking. He was coming in with heat. And I thought he was going to slap him in the face like Jimmy did a few weeks ago. I wanted to see that happen. But again, after the promo, did y'all see Jay tapping into his head? Did y'all see that shit? He was bringing back the 2020 Jay. He was tapping his head with his three fingers like this. Bro, I was geeking out because I can't wait for what's going to happen next week. But this segment did what it was intended to do. Four letters, one word.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also thought it was pretty refreshing how, because they've been beating each other up every week. So this time when we most expected it, they were like, nah, we're not going to do that. They're going to save it for WrestleMania, which they should, but there's still a week left. So who knows what's going to happen next Monday night on Raw. But either way, things are heating up. Tommy, let's go with you next. What were your thoughts on the Jey Uso promo?
Correction. Gunther has been beating Jay every week. Not really the other way around, my friend.
Yeah, because Jay don't got it like that. That's why. Gunther's the ring headed out for a reason.
Michael Cole said he's a giant hypocrite.
Nah, he's...
be the ring general.
Gunther's a respectable champion.
But yet he keeps attacking him from behind.
Gunther's a respectable champion. He respects the sacred mat. He's the ring general. He's the champion of champions. That's why.
Does he respect the sacredness of the mat, but yet bloodies up Jimmy Uso just last week?
Jimmy had it coming. He slapped the shit out of Gunther.
Here's what I am going to say about this segment. I loved it. I truly did. From the seriousness of Jay when he was coming down, he was not yeeting, he was not doing anything. He was staring Gunther down all the way down. He was pissed. As he should be. And even when Gunther's just like, okay, go ahead. I've got my mic. You've got yours. Go ahead. I'm even point my mic at you. He smacks the shit out of that mic like he's going, get that out of here. No. Get the hell out. I'm telling you, by the time WrestleMania hits, Gunther is going to learn a valuable lesson. And that valuable lesson is, don't fuck with the family.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Go ahead, Toxic, and then... Gunther is going
to learn that lesson when, as Jimmy himself puts it, since we're not on TikTok, I can basically say this. I'ma kill you. And yeah. I said it in the chat, in our chat, right after this promo, when I said, Gunther's gonna die.
Yeah, motherfucker's really trying to get us canceled. It doesn't matter if we're not on TikTok. You still can't say that, Tommy.
Yes. But still, Gunther is screwed. There is no way that he is walking out of Mania as World Heavyweight Champion. And if he does, there's no possible way that he is not coming out of it bloodied.
I'm still putting my money on Gunther, but let's go with Toxic, and then Mr. Wrong. Blood, you can finish this one up.
Snug, remember last week when I said that Jay's a changed man, you laughed at me?
I don't even remember yesterday.
Yeah, that's because probably because you're too busy getting drunk. Anyways,
true.
Last week I said Jay is a changed. Last week I said Jay is a changed man. He is a changed man. No yeet. No blue, no pink, no orange, no none of that. Straight up black.
Is that supposed to scare Gunther or something? Because
no, but still, Blood, shut up.
No, I'm just kidding. Go on, Toxic.
This man Jay, he isn't the same. When you fuck with one member of the Bloodline, pause. Continue. You basically mess with all of them. Blood, shut the fuck up. Okay, anyways. So, like Thomas said, there is no way Gunther is walking out of WrestleMania World Heavyweight Champion. Snug, I don't give a damn what you gotta say. Four letters, one word.
That doesn't get old to you guys, saying that every fucking time? I'm getting tired just hearing it all the time.
Not at all.
Damn.
Well, it sucks. You're gonna have to hear it one more time. So, look, as far as it's concerned,
I'll cut your mic out. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Suck it. You got it. I'll put you on 2002 DX. We call it. But as far as it's concerned, look, I'm going to articulate this the best way I can. This, when it comes to Mania, and I'm not sure if they're on night one or two, but as far as it's concerned with Mania, this match is going to come down to who blinks first. Because we heard from Jay tonight, I'm not afraid of you anymore. And I think it really speaks to Jay's character that he straight up admitted that he was scared. This is the first time we've actually heard Jay say he was scared. He was. And everything up till this point has been him just going off of guts and as brave, as much bravery as he can muster. But now, after seeing what happened to Jimmy last week, the fear is gone. There's no fear in retribution. It's just retribution. And what I thought was, like, I said this in the chat. I said, you know, Gunther never took Jay seriously until tonight when there was no heats, no merch, no, like none of it. I said, once you take that away, I said, it's just a brother who's coming after you for hurting his brother. And Gunther is the one who's now afraid. And what I loved about this segment was how well Gunther sold it. Because you can see throughout, it's not just the facial expression from Gunther. His hands told so much story in their exchange. It was a one-sided exchange, but Gunther said so much without saying anything. Every time he saw the intensity in Jay's eyes, the intensity in Jay's voice and his words, the camera would cut back to Gunther, and he's like, it almost looked like Gunther was trying to reason with him, mm-hmm. talk him off the ledge a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, hold on, calm down, like let's relax. You know, because when he said, and you rubbed my brother's blood all over your body, Gunther, for a split second, looked like he felt guilty for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He literally like went, like that, like he closed his eyes, like he was trying to find a way to reason with it.
Yeah.
And then the more intense Jay got, his hands, he was literally like doing this, like, calm down, like waving him off, like, hey, look, I'm, you know, almost trying to apologize, you know? And it was just, I thought it was, what a great way to set up a segment. It starts with the dominating heel coming in as cold, calculated, arrogant, and the one who's in control. And ends with that exact same person being the one who feels like they have everything to lose. Because keep in mind, Jay has nothing to lose here. He doesn't have the title. You already hurt his brother. His family is scattered across the rosters. So in this moment, in his career, he's now a Royal Rumble winner, and he is a Mania world title contender. He has nothing to lose but the match. But at the end of the day, he only wants to win the match for that title, but I don't think he cares really for when. I think it's just, I want to get my hands on you for what you've done. And I thought it was this perfect soliloquy where he goes into, you know, he goes back into his faith, right? Because he has that big cross tattooed on him, and he says, I'm going to say a prayer for me. I'm going to say a prayer for you, but mostly for me. Because remember, forgiveness isn't for the other person. It's for you. Okay? And then he says, and then I'm going to say a prayer for you, mostly for me, because I am sorry. I have to pray for forgiveness for the man that I am going to become when I step in that ring with you. When I saw that, the seriousness, I have no doubt in my mind that at the end of this match, when the dust settles and the blood is on the mat, you have a brand new world heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Four words. Or four letters. One word. Yeet.
God damn it. All right, you guys. Other than that, we had the New Day versus the War Raiders that ended in a disqualification. Penta versus Dominic Mysterio, which Penta won to build up the now four-way, fatal four-way match at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental title. And what else did we have on here tonight? Bayley versus Lyra Valkyrie, which was also a pretty good match. Lyra Valkyrie retained her title. She beat Bayley. And then we had a six-man tag team match, the Creed Brothers and Grande Americano, not Chad Gable, versus the LWO and the Grande Americano, a future Hall of Famer, I must add, Grande Americano. He got the win for his team. And that was Monday Night Raw, you guys. I think we're good. When it comes to Monday Night Raw, I think we covered the most important parts. We have one more Monday Night Raw next week, which is going to be here in my hometown of Sacramento, California. But I don't think I'm going to be able to go, but it's all good.
One more thing that I wanted to say about the Gunther and Jay, and that's the fact that finally, the one thing that Gunther has not done whatsoever the entire time, Gunther has finally done. And people can say to me, hey, last week, that was mind games. He tied Jay to the ropes and beat the crap out of his brother in front of him. No. Gunther said backstage that that was his last chance to back out. That was not really mind games. That was a warning. But tonight, there was the actual mind games of the red tie that Gunther had on. It's about damn time that Gunther actually does some mind games like he usually does. Even if it's not in the way he usually does.
Fuck Jey Uso. Gunther's going to win. And with that, you guys, no yeet. We're out of here. That was our Monday Night Raw review. My name is Edgar. I'm the host of Snug Wrestling. Thanks to the Snug crew. Thank you, Blood, BT, Toxic, and Tommy. We'll see you guys soon. Have a good night, everyone.
Four letters, one word. Oh.